All right, Sunday morning, 11/24/24. Y'all gonna love this one. This is called Why Must Christians Suffer? So we're gonna look at that today. Romans chapter 8. Nobody likes to suffer. We'll just qualify that right now. Nobody that I know of likes to suffer. Romans chapter 8. There's therefore now, verse 1, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's key. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. This is what we've been talking about this morning. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we were debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You want to see the glory? You got to see the suffering. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who both subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And here's where the Holy Spirit comes in to help us. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, when I'm going through hard things, when I pray in the Spirit, it helps. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He knows what we need, even though we don't know. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Did Jesus suffer? Yes, he did. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? It may feel like it when you're suffering. Everything's against you. But just the opposite's true. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So we got Jesus praying for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing. All right. Sufferings here. Something undergone. Hardship or pain. An emotion or influence. I got a lot of scriptures here, but they're not lengthy, so. Let's start with 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 5. Remember the man I said is, we first come to the AG? Oh, no, the Lord never meant for any of his people to suffer. I'm thinking, the thing's full of suffering. What Bible are you reading? All right, verse 5 there. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And rather we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or rather we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall you also be of the consolation. There's a prize at the end. Consolation prize. Like I said, no suffering, no glory. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we departed even to life. In other words, they thought I was going to die. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivers us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also happen together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. All right, Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I don't like it. Do you like it? I detest it. But it's scriptural nonetheless. Colossians 1. Sometimes, maybe if we understand, it'll help us a little bit. Colossians 1:24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, who is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints. You know, we could, let me read 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul went through all these things to get this message out. So, what you're experiencing, we have to take it that way. This is for the good of the cause, the message of the gospel, that the church come back into divine order. This is why we're suffering. Sometimes when we see it that way, maybe it doesn't feel quite so bad. Hebrews 2. verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. What he suffered brought salvation. All right, 1 Peter 1:11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Remember, sufferings, glory. The consolations, glory. 1 Peter, wait a minute. I didn't put the chapter. Let me see. Well, I don't know which chapter that is. It's 1 Peter something, 12 through 14. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's a, let me write that down. That's a good one. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14. Peter says here, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. My little Nell girl, you know, she's fairly young in the Lord, and she said, I was just trying to hook up with the Bible study, and all hell broke loose. I just thought, honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. Beloved, think it not strange, it says. What does strange mean? I thought I put it here. I may have put it later. Concerning the fiery trial, which is try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice. You don't have to think it's strange. You know exactly why. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. First Peter 5:1. The elders which are among you, I exhort him also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Suffering and glory go hand in hand. In the kingdom of God, there can be no leadership position without preparing for it, and that includes suffering. It just goes with it. I didn't write it. All right, go back to 1 Corinthians 10. Now, you don't have to fall to pieces and think, this strange thing, why is this happening? 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is a good thing here. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Maybe that's what, when we're in these trials and this hardness, say, okay, Lord, what's the outlet? You told me you wouldn't put more on me than I can bear. What's the escape clause here? Or how? What can you give me, Lord, that will help me bear it? That's what he's saying here. When he says he won't, right here, he won't suffer you. He won't permit you, it says. Suffer here means permit. He won't permit you to be tempted beyond what you're able. All right. Okay, 2 Corinthians 1:6. Well, let's start with 5 there. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. and rather will be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffered, or rather we be comforted, is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. I think I already read that one, but anyway, it's good. Okay. Philippians 1:29. I'm telling you, I wrote all these down to show you it's all through the New Testament. So nobody should think it's strange. All right, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. You know, sometimes I guess we could say, Lord, I don't like this, but I'm doing this for your sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Suffer here means to experience a sensation or impression, usually painful. Yeah. Hebrews 13. Verse 3. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. I said, yeah, I'm sure, Laura, we need to be praying for others that are suffering, you know, for doing the right thing. Suffer there means maltreat, like unlawfully thrown in prison and things like that. All right. Did I read 1 Peter 3:14 already? Let me look. No, don't show it. All right, 1 Peter 3:14. I tried not to duplicate. But I'm looking up different words. Suffer, suffereth, you know. So, 1 Peter 3:14 says, but, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. That's a hard one. If you're suffering, happy are ye? I'm going, sure don't feel like it. Shouldn't seem like it. All right. We're supposed to be happy about it, Lord. Okay, Philippians 3. Like, do I have to be happy about it, Lord? It's Philippians 3:8. Yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Suffered here means to injure or to experience detriment. All right, let's keep going. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Jesus knows the trouble you've seen because he's seen it too. Hebrews 5:8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Oh, Lord, help me not to make any mistakes. Oh, what? What's going on? Okay, 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth fairly, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls, because of what Jesus did. All right, Matthew 11:12, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Right here, suffereth. To force, to crowd oneself into, or to be seized. It's a tight place. Tight place. Brother Hagin says in his book on this subject, it's called Must Christians Suffer? He says that sickness and disease is not in this. Well, let me say this about it. We know that Jesus already took all sickness and disease by his stripes, but that does not mean it might not feel real and look real. It is only false evidence appearing real. Jesus took the real deal. Okay. James 5:10. We're nearly done here. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Okay, I think I read 1 Peter 2 a while ago. I didn't read 19, though. Look at it. Right here. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. In other words, suffering wrong. When you're wrongly accused, or someone accuses you of something, you take it patiently. Yeah. Okay, go over to Mark. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake in the gospel, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. Okay, John 15:20. This is a part of Christianity that a lot of Christians never know. The Lord told us because they never got that far. Their flesh couldn't take it, so they bail out. All right. What did I tell you, John 15:20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they will keep yours also. The suffering, like it or not, keeps the flesh under. Okay, let's go to 2 Peter again, and we'll be done. 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust until their judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are great in power and might, bring not running an accusation against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And shall receive the reward of their unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to write in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Though those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for whom a man is overcome of the same as he brought in bondage. For after they escape the pollutions of the world to the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed her wallowing in the mire. So this is the goal, that we don't go back that way. And it's going to cause our flesh to suffer to walk in the Spirit. It's just all part of it. Okay.